The morning of today's daf in Menachos is Yud Aleph. We are on Yud Amud Beis. We're finishing up yesterday's daf regarding the usage of your left hand while doing the avoda. Generally speaking, you don't use your left hand for the avoda. The right hand is the hand that is used for avoda. Using your left hand is possible. On that, Rabbi Shimon contends. But before we get to Rabbi Shimon, so yesterday, how do we know that the right hand is the key hand that's going to be used in the avoda? So over the course of yesterday's daf, so there were numerous approaches. One approach of the Gemara is based on the fact that the Torah says four times by the Metzorah that there's one occasion where a left hand is going to be used, and that's for the second Kohen who is going to be receiving the oil to be applied to the Metzorah. So the Torah there repeats that the Kohen is going to be using a left hand, and the Torah repeats it four times, not because it's four different occasions, simply because four times in the Torah just simply repeats instructions. One twice for the Metzorah Usher, twice for the Metzorah Dal, but in any event, the Torah repeats it, and without going into specifics, basically the Torah is saying this is really unusual, meaning that there is no other precedent in place in the Torah where an avoda is going to be done and you're going to be using the right hand. That's one approach of the Gemara. Another approach of the Gemara is that of Rava. Rava says that when the Metzorah has the blood and the oil being applied to his body, so it's going to be applied to his right hand, to his right thumb, to his right big toe, and to his right earlobe. And based on a number of gzeirah shavah, so yad yad lekemitza, regel regel lechalitza, and ozen ozen leritzia. So the basically connections are made between the right hand of the mitzvah to other areas in halacha. So that's Rava. As we noted yesterday, Rabbi Shimon doesn't agree. You know, Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that a left hand you're allowed to use. You're allowed to use it, according to Rabbi Shimon, basically across the board. So the Gemara at the bottom of the Amud said that for Rabbi Shimon, you could use your left hand for Kabbalah Saddam. Rabbi Shimon on the top of Yud Amud Beis says you could use your left hand even for Zrika. So so according to Rabbi Shimon, the left hand is acceptable. So the Gemara goes on to formulate the following question. This is where we left off yesterday, and this is where we're picking it up this morning. Yud Amud Beis, Ella, the Ella. So we are five lines from the top of the Amud. Adam Rava Yayala Kemitza Lamali Mikuhuna Nafka. So the Gemara asks now the question. So according to Rava, what is the source of right-handedness that you have to use your right hand for Avoda? So as we already pointed out, as we already reviewed in the beginning of this morning, it's based on the Metzorah. The Metzorah where the Torah there specifies right hand. So Yad Yad L'Kemitza. So, but the Gemara says, but according to what we learned in yesterday's daf, that's not necessary because we learned in yesterday's daf that you look for some key words when it comes to Avoda. Now again, not according to Rabbi Shimon, but according to the Tanakhama, according to the accepted position, you either look for the word etzpa, or you look for the word yad, or you look for the word kahuna, and that already gives you the indication that you need to use the right hand. So then, why, according to Rava, what are we gaining from the gzeirah shavah of yad yad? So the Gemara says, chal kametz v'chal kiddush kametz. So the Gemara says that according to Rava, I need both. Because one, I need for the kemitza, for the action of kemitza, and number two is for the kiddush hakametz, as we already discussed numerous times, that once the kometz is taken out of the mincha, it then is going to be deposited into a second kli sharis. This is the kiddush hakometz, the sanctification of the kometz. And this too has to be done on the right hand, and according to Rava, I need a drasha for both positions, both for the kemitza and for the kiddush hakometz. Ule Rebbe Shimon, de lo bai kiddush kometz, uleman de amar nami de bai kiddush kometz, le Rebbe Shimon, uvismol achshur imachshir. The Gemara now formulates the next question. Now let's turn all of our attention to Rebbe Shimon. So either Rabbi Shimon holds, now I know this sounds like it's a choice, and as we'll see in just a moment, it is a choice, meaning it's really a machlokas, but either Rabbi Shimon holds that there's no requirement of Kiddush Kametz at all, or there is a requirement of Kiddush Kametz, but it can be done with the left hand. If all this is correct, so then Yad Yad the Rav Lamali, so why do I need the Gzeirah Shavah of Rava? So Ila Kemitza Gufa, Aliba de Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara is Ila Kemitza Gufa, if it's for the Kemitza itself, Aliba de Rabbi Shimon and de Rabbi Yehuda de Rabbi Chia Nafka. So the Gemara says, well, we already know this based on another drasha. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda de Rabbi Chia, my time of the Rabbi Shimon, Dama Kra. What's the basis behind the opinion of Rabbi Shimon? Pasuk says, Kodesh Kadashim Hi, Kechatas Ka'asham. The Pasuk in Tzav compares the Mincha to Chatas and Asham, and as we already went over this Pasuk numerous times, the simplest point the Pasuk is making is that a mincha is Kodesh HaKadoshim. just like Achatzas is, and just like Asham is, so too is Minchat's Kodesh Kadashim. But the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to compare it to both Achatzas and an Asham, obviously the Torah is trying to communicate something. What is the Torah trying to communicate? Bala of the Biyad of the Biyamin. If you're going to use your hand, use your right hand. Kechatas, just like by Achatzas, you'd use your right hand. And Bala of the Bikli of the Bismal. Now, if you're going to use a Kli, so then use your left, you can use your left hand. Ka'asham, just like by an Asham, as we already pointed out, Asham over here meaning an Asham Mitzora. So lo nitzucha ela lekomitz de minchas chote. So the Gemara says, I still need the drasha specifically for the kmitza of a sinner's mincha. Salka dat chamina, because here's the hava, I mean, here's what I would have thought. Hova amar Rav Shem shlo yech karbano mehudar. Meaning, remember, we did this a couple days ago. Why is it that the mincha of a sinner does not have oil? And why is it that it does not have lavona? So the so on one hand, you could make an argument, which Rabbi Shimon tried to make, where it really should have it, because lo yeichot niskar, meaning he's a sinner, and we don't want him to profit for sinning, meaning, and unlike a standard mincha where you have to foot the bill for the oil and for the lavona, so you can make an argument that the chote's mincha shouldn't be any less. On the other hand, however, clearly the Torah doesn't want that, because the Torah says no oil and no lavona. So what is the what's the operating principle of the Torah? What's the reason behind the Torah? So according to Rabbi Shimon, yehei karbano mehudar, so that the carbon should not be a beautiful carbon. Sorry, shelo yehei karbano mehudar. So ki kamitzle nami b'smol tis kasher. So then I would have thought that if the kmitza is done now with the left hand, so it should be acceptable. Kamash Malan, the Gemara says, that's what the Torah is coming to teach us, that is, in fact, not the case, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so what do we gain from all this? What have we gotten? So numerous drushas that tell us that the right hand should be used. We started off the whole sugya yesterday with a drusha going all the way back to Tesamid Beis, based on the fact that the numerous times that the Torah says left hand, four times the Torah says left hand by the Kohen, who is receiving the oil. Another possibility of the drasha is the Rava, who learns it out from the Mitzora himself, where the application is done to his right hand, and Yad Yad Lekemitza. Another approach of the Gemara is the fact that the Torah uses either the words Kahuna or Etzba, or Yad, and that tells us that's going to be the right hand. That's Rava's drasha. And, I'm sorry, the Rava's drasha is Yad Yad. But that's another drasha. And then what the Gemara basically just did is just juggled what is the need for all these various drashas, meaning seemingly a lot of these drashas are extraneous, and the Gemara just basically fit in with the puzzle in terms of why I need this drasha for this and this drasha for this, and then we'll entertain Rabbi Shimon's position and what would the drashas do according to him as well. Okay. We continuing in the Gemara, we're on the very bottom of Yud Amud Beis, Kamatz va'ala biyadot sor or gargar melech o korit lavona pasol. So you do the kmitza. And today, in today's daf, we're going to be going into great detail in terms of how the kmitza is actually done. But in the kmitza, what comes up in your hands is not just flour and oil, but flour and oil and a pebble. Flour and oil and a kernel of salt. Or a kernel of lavona. So in all these cases, says the Mishnah, it's pasul. Now, why is it pasul? The answer is very simple. Because now the kmitza is chaser. Meaning that you need a full fistful of comets to the exclusion of anything else. Once you have something else in your hand, that obviously is going to diminish from the volume of the kmitza, and that's no good. Rashi on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, Rashi writes, Mimnesha komets chaser kidei makom akorat, because what's going to be happening now is that the whatever foreign substance now is in your hand is going to be replacing what should be kmitza. V'im tamar ketzah komets v'alo levon ala minchahi. Now Rashi over here on the top of the Amud deals with a pragmatic issue, and that is, how is a mincha prepared? Mincha is prepared by flour and oil getting mixed together, and then, before kmitza is done, you layer the lavona on top. Okay, lavona is one of the simanim, English. It's one of the spices that's used for the ketores. And it basically, it's kernels. It's not particles, but in other words, kernels, like coarse salt, if you will. And it's layered on top of the mincha. So Rashi over here is bothered by a simple question. So it's layered on top. So now you have a layering, a sprinkling of the lavona on top, and you have to do kmitza, which means you're going to put your hand into the mincha in order to get a fistful. And if you get any of the lavona in your hand while doing the kmitza, it's going to be pasul. So obviously, that's a pragmatic issue.
So, the lavona, so, so is like, make it, Doesn't get burnt.
Oh, wait, just wait. Rashi's going to answer. V'alo levona la mincha hidichtiv, kol levona she la mincha, et shuva la davar. So Rashi says, so I'll give you the answer. Kishakomets mesalak levona kula letzad echad. V'komets asola me'emza akli. So what Rashi says, what you're going to have to do is that you're going to take the levona and you're going to move it to the side of the bowl. And so now you have an opening space where it's just going to be mincha, where you're going to stick your hands in and you're going to take out the and you're going to take out the kemitza. But first, you're going to obviously have to move the levona to the side. Okay. So so back to the
levona doesn't make it on the mizbeach. It's not burnt.
Levona is burnt. Levona is
the kemitza goes on the mizbeach.
No, the levona goes on the mizbeach as well. We'll talk about it.
On a separate trip, or
I don't know if it, either a separate trip or you're going to get another coin to do it. In other words, there are two things getting burnt for every mincha, for every standard mincha. There are two things that get burnt on the mizbeach: the kemitza and the levona. In fact, we're going to talk later on how if you're mefagel by one and not with the other, so it's chati matir. We'll talk.
How is levona compared to the animal part? If you do it for animals, so kemitza was like shechita.
I don't know. I don't get. It's a fair question. I don't know. Kohani lamali. So the Gemara says, so now, numerous examples of foreign items. Why do I need all these different examples? Meaning, it's all speaking to the same idea. If I have something in my hand that is not flour and oil, so that is a foreign substance, taking away from the volume of the kemitza, and therefore no good. And the Mishnah could just simply say that, and we could move on, right? And why all these examples? So the Gemara said, tzricha. No, there's a necessity for all these examples. If I just had a pebble, mishum delav basakravihi, because a pebble has no business going up onto the mizbech, aval melach de basakravihi, but let's say a kernel of salt went into your hand. In other words, and took up space in your kemitza. So okay, a kernel of salt, that's fine, meaning the havamina. I think it's fine, because ematis kasher, because salt goes up onto the mizbech. Right, with all your karbanos, so before it goes up onto the mizbech, so you put salt on it. So salt is something that goes up onto the mizbech. So I might have thought, okay, look, it's not great, meaning I prefer the kemitza be totally of flour and oil. But in other words, but a little bit of salt shouldn't be so bad, as a havamina. V'tana melech d'lo ikve b'had mincha mi'ikara. Now, when it comes to salt, okay, yeah. So let's say salt is no good. We don't say that, meaning that's the conclusion. Having salt in your kemitza is no good. But over there, one can make the argument that salt wasn't part of the original constitution of the mincha. Ava, skip the parentheses. Ava lavona di ikva bahadi mincha. But lavona is part of the original constitution of a mincha. A mincha is flour and oil mixed in a bowl. And then after they're mixed in a bowl, then you sprinkle a layer of salt. I'm sorry, not salt. Then you sprinkle a layer of lavona on top of it. So lavona is part of the original constitution of a mincha. So therefore, ematis kasher. So here you can have a really strong havamina. That if a little bit of lavona gets into your fist while the kohen is doing the kemitza, okay, look, it's not a foreign matter. Meaning it's part and parcel of the mincha. And so therefore it should be kasher. And that obviously represents now the biggest chiddush, that even in the case of lavona going into the kemitza, that's not good. It's a foreign substance, legabi the kemitza, and therefore it's pasul. Therefore it's not going to be good. Mibnesha amra komets ha-chaser ha-yeser pasul. My irium mishim chaser v'yeser v'tepekle mishim chatzit. So the Gemara says, okay, let's consider now. Kohen doing the kemitza, the flour and the oil has to go into his fist, and like by many of the avodas, there has to be direct contact between the komets, which when I say komets now, I mean the actual flour and oil, and the fist of the kohen. And if there's anything there that's foreign to matter, so shouldn't that consider or represent a chatzitza? Now, mind you, by the way, I'm thinking out loud right now. Mind you right now that we're talking about a kernel of salt. We're talking about a small pebble. We're talking about a kernel of lavona. Right, these things, the Gemara now is entertaining the idea that if they're in the comets and they're touching your hand, so that represents a barrier between the flour and oil and the kohen's hand. When we talk about chatzitza, generally speaking, what do we say represents a chatzitza? It has to be something significant. It has to be rubo. It has to be makbid, meaning how one kernel of salt, how one kernel of lavona right now is acting as a chatzitza. Generally speaking, when we talk about chatzitza, you need a significant amount in order to be a chatzitza. So I'm just, again, I'm not, I guess you could call this a question, but clearly the Gemara over here is entertaining the idea that one kernel of salt, one kernel of lavona, if it's a barrier between the kemitza and the hand of the kohen, that's a chatzitza. The Gemara is asking it straight out. That's a chatzitza.
Also, the volume of comments is variable based on the size of the comments, the comments hand.
Correct.
There's no minimum shear for that.
It's not an objective shear. It's not an absolute shear. It's going to be relative to the size of the hand of the coin. Okay, but anyway, so good. It's you can call it a question, but it's really more of an observation. Because the Gemara doesn't flinch, the Gemara calls this a chatzitza. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yirmiyah, Amin Asas. Rav Yirmiyah says, okay, but it doesn't have to be a chatzitza, because as we're going to be discussing over the course of this morning, right, we're going to spend a lot of time doing this. Okay, I'm demonstrating, so I guess everyone look up. Okay, sorry for the listeners, I apologize. Okay, right, there's got to be some advantage to, you know, coming live in person. So the chemitza is where the fingers are put against the hand. And the pinky and the thumb are going to not be pressed against your hand. They're going to be extended outward. And this is how chemitza is done. Well, we're going to actually go through the act of chemitza in just a moment. That's coming up in the Gemara. But in other words, this is what a chemitza hand looks like. And what the flower is going to do is it's going to fill in that space. As you're looking up and you're looking at the space, you see that there are two openings to the space, meaning where the thumb is and where the pinky is. And so what Rav Yirmiyah now is suggesting or answering is that if the salt is over here or if the salt is over here, it's one, taking away the volume of the comets, but two, not representing a chatzitza. Because chatzitza is only when it's actually touching the hand. But if it's on either side of the opening of the chemitza, so then it's not touching and therefore it doesn't represent a chatzitza. And Rav Yirmiyah says that's a scenario in which it will serve as a chisaron, but not a chatzitza. Amalei Abai L'Rabba. Amalei Abai L'Rabba. Ketzad Komtzin. So how's chemitza done? Okay, so, right, we've had versions of these kinds of discussions amongst the Amoraim. The Amoraim clearly are going over exactly how the avodah is done. And so for now, the next, let's say, 10, 15 minutes of Gemara, we're going to be going through the action of chemitza. I'm going to be honest. In other words, this is a wish, if I will. In other words, instead of the Gemara now having words on this page, if we could just have pictures honestly would be worth 1,000 words, more than 1,000 words, if we can actually see this in picture. But what we're going to have is, you know, we're going to have Gemara, we're going to have this put down in word. So to the best of my ability, I'm going to try to show this with the understanding that I've never seen chemitza being done. Okay, so everyone understand that. Full disclaimer. If I had been there and I looked at it, so it would have been fine. By the way, just as a parenthetical note, like, we're going to be doing chulin next mesechta. Chulin is very exciting. It's all about shechita and the anatomy of an animal. And I've taught chulin, you know, once or twice, and I never saw shechita. And subsequently, now I'm proud to say that I actually was there at a shechita. And so now it's like it's a new world. In other words, it really opened up a vista in terms of, like, not only will I be teaching chulin, but after actually having seen shechita. That's exciting.
You're going to do one for us, eh?
I'm not going to do one for you. In other words, I was, you know, hands-on, by the way. In other words, I had my hands on the animal while shechita was being done. It was exciting. But in other words, I feel a little more comfortable talking about a lot of these principles having seen it hands-on. Okay, now, okay, close parentheses, we're talking about chemitza, never seen it happen. And so, to the best of my ability, what I'm going to try to do is describe it in a manner in which the Gemara is describing it, and okay, let's try. So, Amarle, so again, Abaye says to Rava, so how is chemitza done? Amarle kedekamtza inshi. So he says, you know, like, people do it. Now, it's a funny answer. But Rashi over here understands, kedekamtza inshi. Rashi writes, mashma b'chol atzbosav. Meaning, what was meant by that answer is that it's done with all five fingers. Meaning right now, it seems that the answer is, do it with all five fingers. Now the Gemara says, and you'll see that's clearly what was intended with the answer of the Gemara. Now Eitzva, the Gemara says, okay, but I'm going to challenge you. Oh, very good. Yeah, that's what I did. Okay, now the Gemara is going to challenge Eitzva. Now the Gemara says, I'm going to challenge you based on the following. Zuzera, Zukmitza, Zuama, Zuetzva, Zugoda. Now the Bryce over here basically counts the fingers one by one. We start with the pinky, we end with the thumb. And it's not just a counting of the five fingers, which, you know, is really important. But in other words, each finger has its place in the Torah, Right? Don't think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us five fingers and, you know, any one of them is extraneous or necessary. And don't think the Torah doesn't account for every one of the five fingers. Meaning there's a place in the Torah for all five fingers, let's go. Zuzeres. So we start with the pinky. Significance in the Torah regarding the pinky. Rashi. I'm going to go through each Rashi over here. It's beautiful, it's critical, it's, you know, simple pshat in the Gemara. Zeres, Rashi on the pinky. Etz beketana mimena maskala zeres v'nafkamina lamidas choshen zeres arka. In terms of the measuring of the choshen, it is a zeres, a pinky's length. Right? Probably a reference to the stone of the choshen. But anyway, so that's the zeres, that's the pinky. Now we go to finger number two. Again, we're just counting from pinky to thumb. So kemitza, okay? And I'm sure there's a way to describe it in medical terms, but okay, your second finger from the pinky. Okay, or second finger including the pinky. Ring finger, thank you. So zu kemitza. Now why is it referred to the kemitza? Rashi, mi mena maschala kometz, mi oso etzba she etzla ketana. Because kemitza is done with your ring finger, meaning, or I should say better, it starts with the ring finger. Your pinky is not involved in kemitza. Now, we could stop right here, meaning this is exactly the point that Gemara is making. Meaning the answer to the question of how kemitza is done with all five fingers, it's not true. It's not done with all five fingers. Or seemingly, it's not true. We'll come back to the answer in just a moment. Zu'ama, we're now up to the middle finger. So, in Rashi, what is the significance halachically of the middle finger? So Rashi writes, Mimenu modin kol amos abinyan. V'akeyon lefi shihi arucha mikulan. It is the longest finger. And for that, we measure the ama. Ushtei amos ayu b'shushana b'rashtei maklo shehin. Ama uvahen modin amos abinyan. V'oso maklos nimdudu ba'oso etzba. Shihu aruch. And the ama measurement is a measurement as you bend your elbow from the tip of your elbow, from the point of your elbow to the top of your middle finger. That is the measurement of an ama. Now, again, admittedly, not all arm lengths are the same. So, in other words, some are big, some are small. So, over here, however, in terms of determination, the first point of determination is elbow to tip of the middle finger, and then whose? And then the answer probably is you take an average. Zu etzba, we're up to the finger now, right? The pointer, if you will. Rashi on etzba, letabla kon etzba bedam. So significantly, halachically, that's the finger that's used when the kohen dips his finger into the blood. And zugodon, finally we're up to the thumb, Rashi, lebehonus de mitzora. In other words, the application of the blood and the oil regarding the mitzora. Ama, and Rashi just simply wraps up the Gemara's point over here, kemitza becomes velobezeres. Kemitza is done with the second finger, the ring finger, not with the pinky. Ella. So, the original answer of how do I do kemitza? And he says, kidekamtsi inshi. And by that, what we think he means is all five fingers, but it's not true. It's not all five fingers. To which the Gemara says, no, it is all five fingers. Ella lahashvos. So what we need the pinky for is as follows. Look, what's going to happen is that he's going to cup his hands, he's going to put it into the flour, and he's going to capture the flour and the oil that was mixed together. Now, in other words, obviously this is, it's dough. And what's going to end up happening is that there's going to be a little bit of it coming out of the fist on one side and on the other side as well. What he, the Kohen, is going to need to do is with his pinky and with his thumb, he's going to have to level off. So he takes his thumb and he levels off on the top, and he takes his pinky and he levels it off on the bottom. So in other words, I do need all five fingers, three fingers to capture the comets, but the thumb and the pinky in order to leveling it off. Heichi Ovid. Now the Gemara says, now how is this done? Meaning, now that we know how the hand should properly be cupped, okay, good. But in other words, but now the act of kemitza, the Kohen taking his cup fist, and putting it into the bowl in order to capture, how is that done? Amrav Zutra, Bartuvya, Amrav, Chofesh, Alosha, Etzbosav, Ashe, Magia, Pas Yado. So you take your three fingers and you cup it over your hand. Vikometz. And then you do the kemitza. I'm going to read Rashi. Rashi says, Hey Chavid, Amasisa Mahada Dekani Zu Kemitza Demimenu Maschel HaKometz. So the question, as Rashi understands it, is going all the way back to the Mishnah. Meaning, when we say that this is a kemitza, where do we start with the kemitza? So in other words, the answer is you start with cupped hand. In other words, you don't go take your hand into the dough and then cup it. You start with cupped hand and you go into the dough. Tanya Namihachi, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Braisa makes exactly this point. Malokum so yachol mivorats. I might have thought that what you should do is mevarats, basically a heaping amount. Tamalomer bikumso. No, you go in with a fist that's clenched already. Not clenched like a fist, like a punch, but in other words, with fingers cupped over the palm. Ibikumso yachal berosha etzbosav. I might have thought that it should be done with the fingertips, right? Maybe just a little bit. So the Gemara says, Tamalomer melokumso. You fill in that hole that's created. So haketzad chofesh losh etzbosav apas yado. So here the Braisa says, just like what we said. First you cup your hands, and then you do the kemitza. Okay. Now the Gemara now notes, okay, fine. So we basically now have some better picture of how kemitza is done. First cup your hands, and then it goes into the flour. And now the Gemara is going to have a number of follow-up questions. Number one, says the Gemara. B'machfas marcheshes mochik begolo milamala ve'etzba ketana milamala. Now by the machfas and the marcheshes. Now we already were introduced to these types of menachos on day one. What makes these menachos unique is A, the pan that it's prepared in. The machvas is a flat pan. It's a griddle. And the marcheshes is the deep pan. But in other words, but what makes them unique vis-a-vis a mincha and kemitza, aside from the pans that it's prepared in, is that kemitza is done after they're baked. Rashi writes, "B'machvas marcheshes demasein afuye." Damla kamen beperek elu menachos nikmatzos. We're going to learn it later in the Masechta. De la acha shehin afuyin, after the baked, posasan v'komitz. So here's what we do: you crumble them up and you do kemitza. So now you're doing kemitza in basically a bowl of wafers, crackers, right? In other words, I really don't know texture so well. You know, again, never seen it. Hilkach, e efshar l'posasam dakos kolkach kishu kometz yotzos chutz limkomo. And here now comes the problem. You're not crumbling them up into crumbs. So basically, you're breaking them up into pieces. And so when the Kohen's doing the kometz, so he has pieces now of baked wafer, baked crackers that are in his hands. Hilkach, Rashi continues to write, mochek milamala uve etzba ketana milamata. Now, when you're leveling off, this is not the same as leveling off a dough. Leveling off a dough so it's nice and you know, it's still easy to break apart. But over here, you're talking about breaking apart already baked crackers, baked wafers, and here's the trick. You have to level off in a way where it's not chaser. Meaning, if you break off too much as you're trying to level off with your thumb and your pinky, and you are now breaking off some of it that is actually in your fist, so now you're violating the problem of chaser. It's deficient. So how do you do it? The answer is with great difficulty. Vizuhi avoda kasha shebemikdash. This is one of the hardest, or let me say it better, let me talk in superlative. This is the hardest avoda in the Beis Hamikdash, to do the kemitza and to level off on machvas and marcheshes, which are already baked. So you're basically having crackers and wafers in your hand. You have to level off, and you have to level off to the best of your ability, where that which is outside is broken off, that which is inside your fist remains in your fist. It's hard. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara qualifies, and every time the Gemara says this is the hardest, anytime you're talking superlative, meaning this is not the hardest, it's okay. What the Gemara is going to end up doing is modifying just a little bit, it's one of the hardest. So the Gemara says, Zu v'su lo v'aika malika. We already pointed out that malika by the Kohen is extraordinarily difficult, and v'aika chafina, the chafina that's done by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, also immensely difficult. Ela zu yachas me'avodas kasha shebemikdash. So the Gemara says, acknowledgement, you're right, it's one of the hardest avodas that's done in the Beis Hamikdash. Amar Rapapa pshita li malokumso kitakamsi inshi. So Rapapa says that as far as malokumso is concerned, it's the way that people do the kemitza, kitakamsi inshi. Now, exactly what that means, again, I turn to Rashi, right? I'm leaning heavily on Rashi today. Again, as this is like actually, I'll say practical, but not in the sense of you and me. But in other words, we're trying to actually visualize what kemitza looks like. So kitakamsi inshi, Rashi, machznit sida etzbosav adochek, bekemach va'kemach nisnach v'soch yado. So again, I'm going to ask everyone to look up. So basically, the way Rashi seems to describe it is, you go in again, fingers up against the palm before going in. That we've already established. But the way Rashi describes it now is that you go now with the opening down, and you go into the flour like that, and what's going to obviously happen is the flour is going to collect into the hand. So that is the proper way to do the kemitza. Basically, side of the fist down, going into the flour. The Gemara says, okay, numerous follow-up questions over here. Number one, says the Gemara. Sorry, I lost my spot. We're back. Vayra papa. Kametz berashe etzba osav mai. What if we do a Rashi etzbosav? What is the Gemara asking over here? So Rashi offers a pshat. Rashi, fourth wide line down. Shehichnis Rashi etzbosav bekemach, upas yado kal bekemach. So you are sticking now your fingers into the flower. V'komitz melo kumso ad pas yado kitikno mahu. So basically, it sounds like you're going fist down. Mai. Min hatzad din mai. What if you go in from the sides? What does that mean from the sides? Shenasan gav yado ala kemach. Here, what the Gemara is asking is you go with now palm up, hand down into the flower, and then let the flower basically fill in the cavity of your fist as you are now inserted into the flower. Mai. Mimata lamala mai. What if you go literally bottom to top? What does the Gemara mean by that? So Rashi, Sheikhnis etzbosa bekemach v'gav hayad keneged akemach v'komitz. So here, the gavayad, the back of the hand, is going into the flower. Sounds very similar to the way I described it just a moment ago. Okay. So in all these questions, the Gemara says, take what the Gemara says, I'm unsure. Unsure as whether this is acceptable. Meaning, the preferable way to do the kemitza is to go, basically, with fingers over palm, to go down, meaning down with the side of the hand going, with the pinky side down, going into the flower, so that the flower is going to go into the cavity that's created in your hand. That's a preferable way. And then the Gemara says that with any kind of alteration, deviation of either going fist down, palm down, fingers first into the flower. So all these types of variations and deviations, the Gemara leaves off teku unclear in terms of whether or not this would be an acceptable way to do the kemitza. Amra papa pshita li malo chafnaf ke de chafne inshi. Now, as long as we mention the chafina is the two fistfuls of the keteres that is being taken by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So he is now going to be taking a cupped hand, meaning the two hands pressed together of incense into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So how is that done? Ke de chafne inshi. Basically, as you would envision. Rashi over here writes, Shemachnitzin sidi yadeyem v'chofneyem. Meaning, basically, there's a pile of incense. The Kohen's going to take his two hands, and again, with a karate chop, two karate chops into the incense, and then cup his hands together, basically, as you and I would envision. Now, the Gemara says, what if here we also deviate just slightly? By rapapa, chofen b'roshe etzvosav mahu. What if you go fingers first down into the incense? Minatzad demahu. What if you put your hand, palm up, hand down into the incense? Chofen bezu vezu ukarvan zu etzel zu mahu. What if, let's say, you do a chafina in one hand and a chafina in the other hand, and then you put your two hands together after you already collected incense in each hand individually? So teku, the Gemara leaves all these questions unresolved, and if there's any kind of deviation for the Kohen Gadol doing the chafina. By Rav Papa, Dafke lekometz bedafne demana mai. So the Gemara says, what if, let's say, the kemitza is done on the side of the kli? So toch kli beina, do I have to go into the interior of the kli? Vayika, and basically I am in the interior. Odilma hanacha besocho beinan. Or the Gemara says, or does it have to be that I have to go into the kli, on the flower that's resting on the floor of the kli, v'leka, and here you don't have that? Teku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. V'aymar ravashi, hafche lamana v'davke lekometz be'arase demana. Okay, very often, I'm not turning over my cup right now. I still have half a cup left. But generally speaking, with kalim, so not only do you have the insert in the, as a cup normally has, but if you flip over any cups, you're going to find that there is a little bit of an insert on the bottom of the cup as well. Here, this is true by my cup. Generally speaking, it's true by all cups. Let's say you turn the kli sharis over. Even the kli sharis, you have an indentation on the bottom of the kli sharis. And let's say I put the mincha there, and I do the kemitza over there. Granted, it's hard to imagine. There's probably not enough room for an entire mincha, but again, let's just deal with the concept. Conceptually, does this work? So on one hand, my hanach besocha beinan va'ika. So in other words, there is a toch. It does have an insert. Odoma b'kitikuno b'inan v'leko. The Gemara says, but this is not the way the kli is normally used, and therefore it's whatever you want to say inappropriate. Just it's inu derech b'kach. However it works, teku. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. So lots of questions about if one deviates from the act of kamitza, the act of chafina by the Kohen Gadol, and most of the questions of the Gemara is left unresolved.
What is the root word of kamatz? I mean, what is it actually?
I mean, the Torah. Besides
what you said.
Outside of this area of the Torah, I can't think off the top of my head. I cannot think of another usage in the Torah of the word kamatz. But again, you could look it up. I could look it up in terms of finding another place in the Torah where you have the word kamitza. Okay. We continue in that with the next Mishnah, when Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, and the Mishnah now continues. Kate said, "Who owes their poshet esbosav al pas yado?" So it's funny, after the entire discussion, this next Mishnah over here is pretty straightforward and pretty obvious. You take your fingers and you put it over your palm. Now, Riba Shmeina Chasu Shmeina Chasu Levanta Psula. And now the Mishnah says that in the Mincha, so again, there's oil that goes into the Mincha, and there's also Levona that's sprinkled over the top of the Mincha, layered over the top of the Mincha. If I put in too much oil or too little oil, or if I am missing Lavona, so under those circumstances, it's possible. Now, how much oil goes into a mincha? The answer is log shemen, right? One log of oil goes into a mincha. Now, in terms of how much flour that goes into a mincha, so there is a range, right? And base minimum is one isaron, and the maximum for one mincha is 60 isaron. So in other words, yes, it's true, by the way, based on how much flour that goes in, with the one log of shemen that goes into the mincha, so obviously it's going to be either really saturated in oil, or it's going to be very dry. And in terms of going over 60 isaron, so at that point in time, you're never going to get to the point of blending. And right, and we have the principle, which we're going to be seeing later in the Masechta, of called Aray Labila, Ein Bila Ma'akevis, that it has to be at least blendable. And so you need a composition, a solution in which you have enough oil that can blend in with the flour. And the Chachamim, you know, they tested, and they came to the realization that once I have more than 60 isaron of flour, so it won't blend together with one log of oil. Anyway, that was way of introduction. But basically, for one mincha, so the amount of oil becomes a constant, one log, can't be more, can't be less. Good. In terms of Lavona, how much Lavona goes and sprinkled on top? And the answer is, from the Mishnah, you would never know. The Mishnah does not say. But as we're going to see clearly in the Gemara, the answer is a komitz of Lavona. I know that's a little bit confusing, because we talk about kamitz in terms of the Kohen taking the flour and the oil. But in terms of an amount, a volume of Lavona that goes over your standard mincha, the answer is, or the amount is, a kamitza. So the Kohen is going to go to the, whatever, the barrel of Lavona, if you will, and the Kohen is going to take a kamitza of the Lavona, not because there's a mitzvah of kamitza, it just represents the amount of Lavona that's necessary to go over your standard mincha. And the Mishnah tells us that if you are chaser on Lavona, so then it would be puzzle, when taking off the Lavona, so because the Lavona is going to be burnt on the Mizbeach, so if it's chaser, it's going to be disqualified. Okay, and we'll talk more about that later. Hechidame Riba Shmeina. Now, we said too much oil. What does that mean? So, I'm a Rebbe Lazar, so the Gemara is going to quote a statement of Rebbe Lazar, which at first is going to be hard to understand. Kagon. Shehifrish Nashnei Lugin. What happened was is that you set aside two log of oil for this one mincha. Now, two log of oil, meaning if we're talking about the amount that goes over, so why do we need entirely additional log of oil? Seemingly, in other words, once you exceed over one log, that's already too much. And he's describing that as two log of oil. And also, so one simple question you can ask on the Gemara is, why does he have to exceed it by a full log? And number two, it sounds like what he's saying is that I set aside two log of oil for this particular mincha, and then I'm in violation of that's too much. It sounds like what he's saying is that if I have extra oil, but not oil that was set aside for this mincha, but just whatever, oil from another mincha, oil that wasn't consecrated, it's not gonna be a problem. And that's why the Gemara is wondering, like, what are we talking about over here? I don't understand. Let's say it's non-consecrated oil. Let's say it's oil that belongs to another mincha, and it goes into this mincha. That should also be a violation of too much oil. And the Gemara for just a moment entertains, well, maybe that's not going to be a problem. Now, if I may, in other words, it's a hava mina, and we're going to end up dismissing it, but if I may just explain this better for us. The Gemara right now is entertaining the idea that oil that's not consecrated or oil that's coming from another mincha won't represent a problem. This goes back to a discussion we had early in Zvachim, which is the idea that the more it belongs here, the more it's a problem. The less it belongs here, the less it becomes a problem. Right? Called the Mina Machariv. That's an idea that we had in the beginning of Zvachim. So maybe over here in the Hava Mina, what the Gemara is entertaining is that oil that's either unconsecrated or belonging to another mincha would be less of a problem if introduced into this mincha. That's what the Gemara is entertaining. The Gemara is going to end up rejecting it. Maskev l'Razutra, Bartuvi Alamiata, Minchas Chote. Let's consider now the mincha of a sinner. Now, as we've gone over numerous times, no oil in a Minchas Chote. The Pasal b'Shemen. Now, if I put oil in there, it's going to be pasal, right? We all can agree. Now, Hechi Mishkachala, Idi Da Halesle. Meaning, what about its own oil? Well, I can't. In other words, there is no oil that of this particular mincha, and he dechulin v'chaver tahamar lapasal. And you were proposing that oil that it was either unconsecrated or belonging to another mincha is not going to disqualify it. So we're never going to get to a case of too much oil for a mincha schote. That's an impossible conclusion. Skip the parentheses. V'rabbi Elazar lo mi bai kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, let's dismiss what we thought. We thought that he meant this oil, meaning to the exclusion of other oils. It's not true. All additional oil that is extra and above what is required for this mincha is going to disqualify. Lomi by dechulin dechaver to the pasul. For sure, oil that was either unconsecrated or belonging to another mincha, for sure that will disqualify. I will hear for shlosh ne logan ho v'haychazile ema lo lifso. But I might have thought that for this mincha, if the person set aside two logan of oil, so look, the first log by itself would have been fine. The second log by itself would have been fine. Okay, so I heap on the oil, right? I like it spongy. The oil's delicious. So therefore, I would have thought now that would have been fine. And what Rav Elazar is coming to teach us is that no. In other words, for one mincha, you cannot exceed one log of shemen, even if you set aside two logan for this particular mincha. Umanala le Rav Elazar. Now, how does he know this? I'm a Rav, Masis and Kashise. Meaning, because read the Mishnah carefully. My irya, because the Mishnah over here says that ni riba shmana. You added too much of its oil, the hay at the end of shemen, shmana, that's possessive. It means the oil of this mincha. So listen to riba la shemen. Why didn't the Mishnah just simply say that we added oil? Period. So ela kamashman dafagav defishna shnei lugan. And that brings Rav Elazar to the conclusion that it's not just going to be a violation of too much oil when it's oil that is external, extraneous to this particular mincha. But even if it's oil that's set aside for this mincha, you cannot exceed one log. Chirso levonta, let's just do a little bit more for this morning. What if I don't take off enough levona? Or let me say it better right now. What if I put on too little levona? So that's no good. Tana Rabbanan. Chasra v'amda al korad echad psula al shnei karten ksherin divrei Rav Yehuda. And what the Mishnah now, or I should say better, what the Brice over here now is going to be discussing is the following. Levona that goes on top of the mincha. Okay? How much levona? So I already gave away the answer. A kumitz. A kumitz of levona goes on top of the mincha. So in terms of the initial presentation of levona that goes on top of the standard mincha, one kumitz worth of levona. Now, what we already pointed out that this levona we're going to be playing around with. I don't mean that literally, but you understand. In other words, when doing the kemitza, we take the levona, we push it to the side, so that the kemitza goes right in directly into the flour and oil, and that your kemitza will be levona free. We also know that levona is also going to be scooped off the top in order to be burnt on the top of the mizbeach. How much levona do I have to end up with? So what the Tanaim now are going to be debating is that I don't need the full kometz of levona, which practically speaking makes a lot of sense. Meaning, you're moving it around a lot. meaning you're going to end up with every single kernel that you put on the very top. Hard to imagine. You don't have to imagine it. Meaning, as we're going to learn now together, the Tanayim are of the opinion that when I take the Lavona off the Mincha, it doesn't have to be all the Lavona. How much is it? So according to Rav Yehuda, I need two kernels of Lavona. Rabbi Shimon Omer Akorit Echak Sher Apochus Mikam Psula. And Rabbi Shimon goes even further. When I'm removing the Lavona off the Mincha, only one kernel is what you need to take off. The Atanya we learned in a Braisa. The Atanya. Komets were on the top of Yad Alpha Mid Beis. Komets of Lavona Shechasa Kol Shehu Pasol. So if I have either the Kamitza or the Lavona, where if any amount is missing, it's going to be Pasol. So Tani Karet Lavona Shechisa Kol Shehu Pasol V'Ibai Seima. I'm sorry, Tani Karet Lavona Shechisa Kol Shehu Pasol. So the Gemara says, first of all, the way we can learn the Braisa is not by saying the word Lavona by itself, but Korat Lavona. Meaning if all I have is but a kernel and I don't even have that, so then it's going to be possible. That's one way we could read the Braisa. Ibai Seima, Kamba Lavona, Abayma Mincha, Kamba Lavona, Abab Bifnei Atzma. Or the Gemara says, no, look, if I have Lavona that's offered by itself, meaning Lavona could be offered by itself, so under those circumstances I need the full Kamitza. But Lavona that's coming in conjunction with the Mincha that's being sprinkled on top of the Mincha, so then there's flexibility in terms of how much Lavona I need upon removal. I'm Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, I'm Rav Yochanan, Gimel Machlokas Bedavar. The truth of the matter is, says the Gemara, is that there are three opinions on this matter. So, Rabbi Meir is of Komets Betchil, Komets Besof. So, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that I need a full Kamitza, both at the beginning of the Mincha, when putting it on, and even when taking it off. Rav Yehuda Sarmer Komets Betchil Vishnei Kartim Besof. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion a full Kamitza goes on top initially, and then how much Lavona has to be taken off at the end, when I'm removing the Kamitza, two kernels. And Rabbi Shimon Sofer Komets Betchil V'Koriz Echa Besof. And Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that you start with a Kamitza. Everyone says you start with a Kamitza of Lavona. And then how much do you have to take off at the end? Just but one kernel. V'Shosha Mikra Echa Darsha. Now the truth of the matter is all three opinions, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon, are all generated from the same Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'es kol alavona she'ala mincha. The Torah says that all the Lavona that's on the Mincha, Rav Meir Savar Ad Isa Lavona Di'ikva Bahad Mincha Mikara. And Rav Meir says, good. What the Torah is telling us is that I need all Lavona throughout the entire procedure, from beginning to end. And you have to end with a full Komets of Lavona. Rav Yehuda Savar Kol V'afilu Chad Koret. And Rav Yehuda says that the word Kol means even one kernel. If I may, by the way, in English, it actually works out very good. When you say the word kol, it could be in English either understood as every, or in English sometimes it could be any, right? So the way Rabbi Yehuda understands it is that kol afilu chad karet, and es l'rabot karet acher. And then when it says es kol, so the s is now a ribui, so if I have one, so what's the ribui coming to tell me? Two kernels. And Rabbi Shimon es lo darshan, Rabbi Shimon just doesn't darshan the word s. So, okay, and we see that throughout Shas, whether S gets darshaned or does not get darshaned. Okay, so where do we stand right now? We're going to pause right now in the Gemara, but where we stand is, we finished up the sugya of right-handedness, right? The right-handedness is an essential part of an avoda, and the juggling at the end of the Gemara in terms of why I need all the various drushas of right-handedness, and the Gemara at the end of the sugya juggled the need for all three drushas. Then our big discussion for today was Kamitza, right? Daf Yud Aleph and Menachos is really a day dedicated to the actual act of Kamitza. Kamitza is done by taking your fingers and pressing it over your hand and inserting it into the bowl and taking up a fistful of the flour, but excluding your pinky and excluding your thumb. And they are used, however, for leveling off the Kamitza that's on your hand. Kamitza is done by the Marcheshes and the Machvas, which the Kamitza is done after you baked it. And leveling it off and making sure that you level it off correctly is one of the most difficult avodas done in the Beis HaMikdash. And including the short list of difficult things that's done in the Beis HaMikdash is Malika and Chafina. And then the Gemara has a lot of follow-up questions, which the Gemara leaves unresolved in terms of variations of how Kamitza and Chafina are done. And then we discuss in the course of today's daf the oil that's introduced into the Mincha and the Lavona that's introduced into the Mincha. Oil, one log of oil, no more, no less. And in terms of Lavona, one Kamitza, a fistful of Lavona that's sprinkled on the top of the Mincha after the oil and flour are mixed together. And in terms of how much kmitza is done, it's put on originally, one kometz worth. How much do you need to take off? Three-way machlokis amongst the Tanaim.